Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, he is now a racing aficionado, racing analyst for NYRA. And we wish he was still catching for the Mets because God knows we could use him. And that's our good buddy, our old friend, Paul LaDuca. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well. And then as for catching for the Mets, I could catch for the Mets, but Omar Minaya is back. So I don't know if that could happen.
Yeah, you know what, though?
That'll be a hindrance.
You right now, I know you haven't played in a number of years, you right now are so much better than Lobatone and Nitto and Plawecki and Dono. It's a joke. I mean, it's a joke.
I feel bad for the two kids now. I mean, because they're put in a situation where they shouldn't be. I mean, when you just can't hit a 94 mile an hour fastball belt high, they're just getting overmatched. And I think they have handled the pitching staff as well as they can, but they're just both put in a tough spot. And when, you know, there's no slight against anybody. And I hate saying this, but when Kevin Plawecki is what you're holding your hat on, you got to start making some moves. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
Think about this. You're asked to replace Mike Piazza. Not easy. Piazza was this Met legend. You do a great job. You're the number two hitter for a team that should have been in the World Series.
Yep.
Since you left, think about the cavalcade of garbage Met fans. Brian Schneider replaced you.
Oh, my God. And remember this, too. He replaced you as our weekly spot. Remember that?
What a disaster he was. As a player.
I mean, yeah, it was unbelievable. What a come down that was.
Well, you know, they decided to part separate ways when I left, and obviously it's, you know, not unknown the way we parted, and it's to the point where I never even got a phone call, couldn't understand it, but it was things that they thought were outside the lines, which were completely untrue. So, you know, I went into Washington, got hit the second pitch of the game, and it didn't pan out, so it's probably maybe a good move, but you're right. I mean, when they got Darno, he just hasn't been healthy from day one. And my problem with the Mets is I don't remember which way to put it, wishful thinking, or they're always going for the lottery or the jackpot. It's like, how many more times does a guy need to get hurt before you go, okay, let's go to another direction and maybe get somebody? Like, and it just keeps happening and happening and happening. And Darno, you know, some guys aren't built to play every day. Some guys are, and he's not.
No. Mm. He's also not very good. I mean, when he plays, he can't throw anybody. He can't throw me out.
Right.
I'm not exactly a speed demon, so he's bad defensively.
Right.
Offensively, he's at his moments. I don't want to kill him. He had his moments. He hit a couple of home runs. He can get hot, but he's always hurt. It's just, you know, they had a month. I remember they traded for John Buck, and he had, like, this really hot month.
Yeah, he hit, like, a lot of home runs early on.
Outside of that month, oh, my God, the catcher. But it's like you cursed the catcher's position,
right. And this is a position that has been a strength of the Mets, really, for their entire history. I mean, really, going back to Jerry Grody. So, you had Carter, you had Piazza, you had Hundley, you had you. It's always been, like, a good catcher there, and that's not the case anymore.
Well, they need to get something. Buck's a good point, because at least Buck was going to run into 15 to 20 balls. He had that kind of pop.
Right.
He would hit a big 2-3-run homer. You have to get something. You know, we live in a day and age now where, you know, back in the day, the center fielder, shortstop, second baseman, the center fielder really didn't have to hit the middle of the infield. That day's over, as this really is. You need to hit a tiny bit, unless you're just the standout super stud, where you can just control the running game like a Pudge Rodriguez or a Yadier Molina. Meanwhile, Yadier Molina keeps getting better like a fine wine. He's got 6 or 7 home runs already. So it just shows you how important it is. You know, the Cardinals have changed over and over since even I was with the Mets in 06, over and over. But the one constant has always been Yadier Molina, and yet they keep on winning. They keep on staying in the mix year by year because of that.
Yeah.
We're talking to Paul Aduca. How would you get along with a guy like Matt Harvey, especially when for a while it looked like he wasn't going to participate in the playoffs in 2015 to protect himself? He ends up doing it, and I don't know if that's contributed to his failures, but even now he's in the bullpen, doesn't look like he's got the greatest attitude about it. How would you as a leader deal with a guy like Matt Harvey?
Well, you know, I was vocal before about 4 or 5 years ago about trading David Wright, and I got lambasted. And my point on that view was it was going to be a better thing for the Mets, and I was 100% right.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And he's one of my good friends. It was just like, listen, you need to know when the play is over. So to me with Matt, I still can't believe to this day. I played 17 years. Was I an Angel? No. Did I have fun? Yeah. Did I play my balls off? Yeah. But here's the other so many ways, and there's 20-some-odd teammates, maybe 30 with the guys in the DL in the clubhouse, including the trainers, including coaches. You have every single one of their phone numbers, and you cannot text them that day he did not show up. That day, it ended for me. Goodbye. See you later, alligator. Because if he's a normal pitcher, that's a brink pitcher, that's a kid that's a triple-A guy, he's released. But because it's Matt Harvey, the Dark Knight, who's 2 games over .500, who's been plugged to being this guy, right. Meanwhile, he's never been the guy.
He's under .500 now, by the way.
Yeah, but my point is, it should have been bye-bye. Never in the history in 17 years I have never seen somebody not show up to the ballpark without alerting somebody. All you had to do is text your manager, I'm in traffic. Lie about something. But to not have any care and go in there and go, I'm still going to pitch, is the cockiness and something that he needs, to be honest with you, he needs to get his ass kicked.
Wow. Yeah, by who?
Duke.
That's the question.
And here's the problem. And the reason why it didn't get rooted last year was, who's the leader in the clubhouse? Is it David Wright? David really can't say anything because he hasn't played. He's in a tough situation.
It's probably Todd Frazier now,
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Terry was put in a tough situation. Da-da-da-da-da. But the way I look at Mickey being a new manager, if this was something, whatever, now he's in L.A. partying. I don't care about that stuff. As long as he gets guys out. It's all that matters, and that's going to rear its ugly head. But now with DeGrom, you really don't know if it's scar tissue or not. I'm hoping it's scar tissue when he had a percent in his elbow, and he's going to be fine. But he's going to get thrusted back into the rotation at some time, and he's got to turn his hat around backwards and put his big boy pants on. The bottom line, we've all hit rock bottom when it comes to the big leagues, and you struggle. He needs to make the adjustment, but he needs to put some effort into it.
Mm. Talking to Paul Aduca, and let's get now to the Derby, and we do miss you, Paul. There's no doubt about it. All right, give me a feel of what you think here. Talk to me first about the favorite here. What justify it 3-1? What's your thoughts on him?
Well, it's an interesting Derby because the two horses that might go favorite are trying to buck a trend that goes back to 1882 and a horse named Apollo. I mean, no horse has won the Kentucky Derby without starting a race at age 2 since Apollo in 1882. Mm. And Justify and Magnum Moon, probably the two most talented horses in the race, are very lightly raced. 3 races for only Justify. Bob has whispered around Churchill Downs, this could be the next American Pharoah. But I think it's a little bit with caution because American Pharoah had 5 starts when Justify's only had 3. Magnum Moon's only had 4. So there's a lot of lightly raced colts, but all I've heard from Churchill Downs are glowing reports. But the thing about Justify is he hasn't been battle tested. He's obviously going to get battle tested tomorrow, and we'll see how good he is. But, like, it's hard to doubt Bob Baffert. I mean, he's the best in the business.
What do you look for when you try to find a horse that can win a race like this? Is it that experience? Is it the owner? What are you looking for?
You try to look for a horse that has overcome a little bit of adversity. Because in a 20-horse field, there's going to be some bumping. A horse is going to get taken out of his element than what he's usually used to because they don't run 20-horse fields. Usually fields in America are 8 to 10 horses. That's a big field, and they could be smaller. So when you get 20 horses together, and you get bumped a little bit, you find out a horse's grit and whether he has it or not. Some horses that are front runners end up getting put behind horses. How are they going to respond with dirt getting kicked in the face? So, to me, you got to find a horse that has some, you know, face adversity, and that's why I chose Magnum Moon, because he's won three races over three different racetracks, and he's done it three different ways, on the front end, from behind, and I just think that he has enough talent, you know, to maybe get a decent price around 7-8 to 1 to win the Derby.
So that's your pick is Magnum Moon, who right now, at least I'm looking at the odds right now, he's 6 to 1. But that's your pick right now to win the Derby, Magnum Moon?
Yeah, and the reason why, Joe, I'll tell you why. His number has stayed the same. His number has not moved, right?
Right.
And
right.
Not one expert has picked him. And here's the reason why. He drifts out. And the problem with the horse is, when you drift out, it's usually a sign of a horse tiring. But when I look at his numbers, he's actually accelerating. He's just a little green. He looks around a little bit. So a lot of people are worried, okay, there's going to be 100,000 people at Churchill Downs. What's he going to do then? I just don't see it. I just think this horse is so tactical and so talented. And here's the other thing. He might be one of the youngest horses in the field. Chronologically, each horse does turn 3 on January 1st. But they all do have birth dates, and he's one of the youngest horses in the field, and I think he's just getting better and better. And here's the other thing. He drew a post 16. I mean, come on. That was my number. I've liked this horse forever, and then boom, got to be a sign.
Yeah, and I understand.
Yeah, but talking to Paula Duke, right. Who's become a horse racing expert. When did you get into horse racing? Were you a kid?
You always were, right? Right?
Yeah, always were, like when I was a kid, and then I owned close to 10 to 15 at one time when I was with the Dodgers and Marlins. And then when I was with the Mets, I'd owned maybe like one or two at the time. I had gotten out of it and started focusing, you know, trying to focus more. I mean, I really focused more on baseball, to be honest with you. I think I was in like one or two winner's circle pitchers, and I won about 10 races in my career as an owner. But yeah, I just loved it. Loved the passion. I always thought, you know, when I prepare for hitters, I try to figure out a puzzle on how to get him out every day when I would show up with my pitcher. And I would always look at the book and the scouting report. And I took pride in that of calling the game, because that was always first with me. And I think horses are the same way. You try to figure out the puzzle, where they're going to fit and where they're going to land, and try to figure it out from there. And I think it's a challenge.
Mm. Well, I got to ask you this, because a friend of mine gave me the exact box that he wants me to play tomorrow. All right. So
okay.
I'm going to throw this at you. Tell me, because I'm, you know, this is, you know, this stuff is a little out of my league. You know, I watch the Triple Crown races. I always do. I'm into that. But I don't really know that much about the horse racing. I got to be honest about it. So I'm going to hit you with this. You ready? These are all numbers. I don't know. He said I should play the exact box, 1, 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, 14, 16, a $1 box, and then he's got $56 after that. What does all that mean?
So what he's telling you is, when he calls exact boxes,
right,
basically, the numbers that he's giving you, it's called an exacta box, means the horse has got to run first or second in any order. So any of those numbers,
right,
that you have there are combinations. If they run 1-2, you hit it.
Any of these numbers go one or two. Right.
Yeah, the one is Firenze Fire.
He's 50
that
to 1.
In the box?
Yeah, he's got him in there, yes.
If that horse runs first or second, I will personally come down on Monday and kiss both you and Evan.
Don't kiss me.
No, thanks.
I mean, you know, you're not my type. I love you, Paul.
Okay, I know you're a big Met fan, though, Joe, so you probably would like to kiss.
I'll take an autograph. I don't know about the kiss. But no, he's 50 to 1 for Renz Fire. I said, but the other ones, I mean, 16 is in there, so that's your horse. So there you go.
Magnum
Moon.
Listen, if you're a better, this is amateur hour, just like anything else. Like,
right, right. Well, this is extreme amateur hour for me.
These type of days, yeah, because they get great odds or whatever. So people are going to play horses on names or on buzz or what they've heard and this and that. So listen, the number system can always work. I had a buddy of mine one time go to the window in Arizona, and we were playing the ponies, and he was struggling, hadn't hit anything all day. And he told the lady, he goes, "This is the oddest day ever." And the lady goes, "You should play odd numbers." He boxed 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11.
Right.
And got back $42,000 in the super fast.
And how much do you lay down? How much?
It was like 120. It was a big bet. It was like a $120 bet. I mean, but He laid it out. It was like his last money, $42,000, like that. I watched it with my own eyes. Mm. Couldn't believe it. So sometimes the number system can definitely work.
So so if I play this and let's say your horse wins, all right, then I win, right?
You should. You should. I would think with all those other numbers, you should run second. One of those other horses just would need to
so
run
it's
second.
Gotta be, so it's got to be. So these horses, two of these horses have to finish 1-2, not just one of them win.
In any order.
One,
in any order.
Two.
They have to finish first 1-2. Yep. If it's a trifecta box, it's 1-2-3. Superfecta box, 1-2-3-4.
I see. And the exact is just 1-2.
Yep. Yep.
All right. All right.
Paul, you think the Mets end up being a playoff team this year?
Wow, that is a giant question. It really is. I don't know how good the Braves are. So the kid Sokolo is his name.
Yeah,
and getting
his
it
major
right.
league debut.
They couldn't touch
him. He looked like wow.
And Julio Teheran. I mean, come on, Julio. Did they ever hit? They never hit Julio Teheran, Paul.
I know. And here's the thing: Teheran came out of the game. Julio Teheran came out of the game last week with a pulled trapezoid muscle.
Right.
And he comes and he should. It was a dangerous series to begin with the Mets. Because here's the thing with the Mets. Syndergaard came off the best game he pitched in St. Louis. He was absolutely dominant. They played awful defensively. I know it was a tough play for Yo down the line when he dropped
that
ball. But listen, when you're playing no doubles in the ninth inning with Familia, Lagares has got to catch the ball. I'm sorry. I know
it
hit the fence.
You're right.
Those are the fine lines of winning games and losing games and winning championships and losing championships. They can't lose games like that. Now DeGrom goes out and has been their like sort of fire extinguisher, and he did it in San Diego. So then what happens? He goes out there and he's throwing unbelievable, and then boom, he hyperextends his elbow, and then the Mets morale goes down, and then they get outscored 18-0 in the next two games. That cannot happen. It's got to turn around tonight or tomorrow night, and they got to get back on the wagon. They can't let – when Syndergaard and DeGrom lose, it seems like the team gets, you know, slanted, and that worries me, and that worries me a ton. If Jacob DeGrom is not Jacob DeGrom, the Mets are going nowhere.
Clearly.
Because he's their most polished.
Yeah, no question.
No doubt, he's the ace.
No question. Now, when are you coming in? You guys should come in here and, like, do an hour with us sometimes.
I'm here. I'm in New York now.
I know you are.
I'm doing some stuff for the Action Network now. I'm going to go to the Mets game. Maybe that could bring them some life if I go to Citi Field. But I would love to come in and say hi to you guys.
We'd love it.
We got to have the Duke.
When you go to Citi Field, make sure you say hi to Omar. I think he misses you.
There you go. By the way, I'm going to play
You think he has my jersey on as well?
Yeah, clearly.
By the way, I'm going to play this exacta and see what happens.
Good luck, Joe. I'm rooting for you.
Me too. Like I said, I got your horse in here. So I'm ready to go. Give me Magnum Moon and, you know, who knows, whatever. Whatever. So this has nothing to do with the odds on these horses, though. That means nothing when you bet this, right? Nothing.
Well, it does. Like, the odds, obviously, the higher the odds, the better. If Frenzy Fire wins that race, you're going to get, and you hit that exactly, you're going to get paid handsomely. So it depends on the odds and here and that. But, you just want to try to hit it first and then see what happens next when you put the thing in the machine and hopefully it comes out more profitable, you know?
Thank you, Duke.
Beautiful. Thank you, Paul.
We miss you, man. We miss you doing our regular spot. We really do. And we miss you behind the plate with the Mets.
Too, man. Thanks for having me.
As well.
Thanks, man.
All right, Paul.
Paul the Duke, now a horse racing expert for NYRA. And, of course, the former Met catcher. He was actually a competent Met catcher. Right. And he was a very good weekly spot. Him and Antrell Roll, Terry Bradshaw. Yeah.
And even now, he's very outspoken. You hear what he said about Plawecki.
Well, he also said Matt Harvey needs to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, right.
That was the funniest.
Could you imagine Duke in that locker room?
Oh, I think he'd be the one doing it.
I would agree.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.